Christ is in our midst.
He is and shall be.
I think there is a lot to be said, or that can be said, rather, about this particular gospel reading from today. But there is actually just one word, in this gospel reading today that I would like to focus on. And that is the idea, or this word, of mountains. Mountains. Now I know that throughout our lives, it's very easy to encounter mountains that we, or the world, throws up in front of us each and every single day. I mean, in our culture today, all we need to do is to turn on the television, look on our Facebook feeds, or simply take a trip to the grocery store or to a coffee shop to see all the madness that has become mountains in normal parts of our society and culture today. And while there is certainly nothing new under the sun, it does seem as if this cultural madness of the past several years has taken on a whole new dimension. They have certainly become mountains in and of themselves. But it's not only the mountains that the world puts up in front of us or puts in our way, which can be difficult to navigate. But there are also the mountains, as I said, of our own lives, which can manifest themselves as anything, right? They can manifest themselves as a particular sin that we find ourselves falling into time and time again. That grudge that we have against someone, or whatever it may be, that blocks our path to God. Mountains, right? How are we as Orthodox Christians supposed to navigate the mountains of our culture and even the mountains of our own lives? Because sometimes I think it can seem as if these mountains can never be moved. And I have to say that there is truth in this, dearly beloved. They cannot be moved. There is truth in this. These mountains cannot be moved if we rely solely on ourselves and we think that we have the answer to fixing the madness, overcoming the mountains of life. But in today's gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the only answer to overcoming these mountains. The only answer to crossing over them. And what is it that he says? And that is by faith that comes out through prayer and fasting. That's what he says, right? Now this is an important truth that I think we have to keep in our minds and in our hearts as we hear the story today of the father of the epileptic boy who was possessed by a demon who came kneeling before Christ to ask for the healing of his son. Now we hear that the father first took the boy to the disciples, and they were not able to cast out this demon that overtook this young man. The disciples were not able to cast out the demon because at this time they had not reached that maturity of faith, the maturity of prayer, and that maturity of fasting that was needed in order to perform such a miracle. But this is a crystal clear example that our Lord takes what is broken and he uses it for his glory. When we have ardent faith, we repent of our sins and we turn back to him. Now, most often than not, I have to say that the mountains that block our way to this path, our path to salvation, is very much often our very own pride. that tells us that we know what is best. It is only through dying to ourselves, our own will is what I mean when I say to die to ourselves, and we take up our cross, as heavy as it may be sometimes, and we follow Him. Now, we may not always want to take up this cross. We may not always want to take the path that we are commanded and told to. But by doing so in trust and faith, God gives us the grace, the humility, and the humbleness needed, that we need, to walk the path of salvation. The salvation our Lord offers to us, my friends, cannot be defined on our own terms. It cannot be. This is the mountain that we must strive to overcome, dear brothers and sisters. For as St. Paul says in his letter to the church at Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, is what St. Paul says. So instead of building ourselves up according to the way that we are told by our culture, the church says instead to lower ourselves before Christ, like the father of the epileptic son. I'd like to share with you a quote from St. Gregory of Palamas, in which he says, when we practice both spiritual and bodily fasting and pray, for us the fire of fleshly desire will be extinguished with the help of good angels, and sin will be tamed like a lion. When we become partakers of prophetic food with hope, faith, and inner vision of the good things to come, and we will be able to tread over the power of the enemy. Again, this is St. Gregory Palamas on his homily on fasting. I have to say that it is so easy for us to get wrapped up in our own selves, isn't it? It's very easy. And a lot of the times we don't even realize that this is happening, because our culture tells us, and sometimes we tell us, that there is nothing wrong with this, right? That we are the only thing that matters. That this is the meaning of life, right? That we are the meaning of life in and of ourselves. But I have to say that our Lord and our church, our holy church, teach us something quite different about this meaning of life. Something quite different. For you see, dearly beloved, our Lord and His church tells us that self-indulgence is actually the mountain, or a mountain, that blocks the way of the true meaning of life. And do you know what that is? That is complete communion with God. Our journey toward the kingdom has nothing to do with acquiring earthly power, or earthly success, or earthly popularity, because His kingdom has nothing to do with this. And it is only when we stop focusing on ourselves and we focus on our Lord, can we destroy the mountain in our way and kneel before Christ like the Father in our gospel reading today. I mean, we do have to accept that it is not all about us. And if we make our faith basically about getting what it is that we want, then we will always serve ourselves. And we will always become addicted to that self-centeredness that the church and Christ call us away from. We will begin to be so enslaved to our passions, to our pride, and to our own will, that we will become powerless against the forces of darkness that do attack us every day from every angle, because the evil one is a real adversary. So let us, brothers and sisters, look to Christ, who came not to serve, who came not to be served, but to serve, and whose glory has nothing in common with worldly things and worldly desires. He will, when we turn our hearts to Him, He will transfigure us into participants of His divine glory through our humble faith, through our humble repentance, through our prayer, and through our fasting. But I have to tell you, as a disclaimer here, there is hard work to be done when we seek that repentance and we seek to take up our cross and we seek to overcome the mountains in our lives. But when we embrace humility, obedience, again, repentance, and self-denial before God, He will give us the grace we need to trek to the top of that mountain and emerge victoriously on the other side. Because there is no mountain in life that is bigger than Christ. He is bigger than any temptation. He's bigger than any sin. He's bigger than any failure. Bigger than any problem we may have. And when we trustingly put our faith and our love in His hands, He gives us the grace to become bigger than we ever dreamed to be. Bigger than ourselves. We start to die to ourselves. We become bigger than our weaknesses. We become bigger than our hatred, our prejudices, our defeats, our mountains. We become bigger than our mountains when we look to Christ in repentance. And I'll end with this. Jesus said to them, "If you have faith, you will say to this mountain, 'Move hence to yonder place,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.